This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. Barry Svrluga joins us in a half hour. We'll get the latest from him on what the Nats expect to get out of Jason Wirth and Trey Turner and how quickly they'll be back in the big leagues. They're starting a rehab assignment. Right now, though, are you concerned about the Redskins' first-string offense? Remembering that they're not game-planning for their opponents, that they aren't installing some of their best packages and plays, that Jordan Reed hasn't played, that Crowder's been limited, that Doxson's been limited, all in the corner of saying, let's not worry too much about it. But also that there's 31 other teams who have the same exact situation, where they're without a bunch of starters, where they are not installing their best stuff. Many of them look better than Washington. And that the Redskins, against number ones, in a very limited capacity, four or five drives, have not moved the ball and gotten
no first downs
yet.
Yeah.
That is a problem. 800-636-1067. I'm not worried. Danny's not particularly worried. What about you guys? D and DC, how are you?
First string offense. Remember,
D, I'm going to put you back on hold. Oh, what's up, dude?
Hey, dude.
Hey, man. I'm not worried at all, man. I think that the wide receiver core that we have and Kirk Cousins, the offense that we got, I would like to see P. Ryan more. The only thing I blame it on is the way that we practice and do OTAs, man. We're not physical enough out there. So when they get that first bump, you know, they be having the preseason jitters.
Appreciate it, dude. I don't know. It's always so hard to say because, I talked about this last year and all the time, really, with the way sports goes. When we're working back from a result that isn't good, we try to figure out why. Remember how they lost to Pittsburgh and didn't look real competitive and we're going, well, it's because Josh Stroman didn't follow Antonio Brown around, or it's because they didn't have a hard enough training camp, or they didn't practice enough or didn't play enough in the preseason because last year was so fluky. And that explanation kind of fit. We're now working back from a place where they haven't gotten off to good starts in 3 years under Jay Gruden. They haven't looked particularly invested or interested or performed very well in their first two preseason games, especially that first team offense. So we're looking for hypotheses as to why that kind of fits. That's as good a one as any, by the way, is training camp isn't difficult enough. Jay Gruden has talked about wrestling with that situation. It's a tough balance. And he's even mentioned this. If I run guys, you know, if we're doing bull in the ring and playing the Oklahoma drill and knocking each other around every day for 2 days, not allowed anymore, but you get my point, and someone gets hurt, well, then he's an idiot. If they don't play at all and are rusty and not ready for weeks one and two, then he's an idiot. You're basically walking a tightrope here without much on either side.
I don't care about how they've looked yet, because I think the first two games are just not authentic or real to life in any real capacity. I'd rather them look good than bad. This is different this week, though. This is the dress rehearsal. This is the game they are prepping for, not unlike it's the regular season. So if they go out and play close to two quarters against the starters of the Cincinnati Bengals, and let's say they get 3 points and they get four first downs, and they go three and out three times in their first four drives. I'm coming in here on Monday after Sunday's preseason game against Cincinnati, and I'm going to be discouraged. I'm going to be disappointed. Now, they'll have a couple of weeks to clean some things up, and presumably will still look a little bit better after 2 weeks of work with the urgency of week one than they did against the Bengals when they play the Eagles to open the season. But this is a week in which, if you're Jay Gruden and the staff, you have to mandate to players that they operate with the urgency of the regular year. This is the one chance you get to really see who's who and what's what.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. You're not playing your starters again in the fourth week of the preseason. If you do, it would be unprecedented in Jay Gruden's time here, and it would be for a drive, tops. But I don't even think they're going to do that. So it's now or never to show that you're ready for the regular season. We keep hearing, well, they're not game planning. You've got a chance to. You've also got the gift of a Sunday afternoon game.
Right.
This now gives you the chance to get through your schedule on a normal week if you
choose
to.
It's a good opportunity. You're right about that.
Everything can feel like it's normal. This is not a Saturday night game that you're not going to play again until the end of December, maybe once. This is not a Thursday or Friday game like most teams have to play on a short week. Take advantage of this quirky, weird schedule where you get a Sunday afternoon home preseason game. And do everything from Tuesday through Saturday like you're going to do it against the Eagles when you play them at home on Sunday 3 weeks from now. And if you do those things all week long, like you're going to do them against the Eagles, and you still look terrible and you're Jay Gruden, then you know we got a problem here. But until then, I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. They're going to throw the ball effectively. They've got weapons. They've got a quality trigger man. They've got a coach who's called plays well enough to win himself a coaching job here in Washington. I worry about the running game because I've always worried about the running game. I don't know how good their running backs are. I would like to see a little bit more Samaje Perine with the first group.
So track record matters so much to me. And I said this on, I want to say it was ABC7 News last night when I was fortunate enough to do a spot with him. It was basically when Joe Gibbs was here in the 80s, after a couple of years, I did not care what they did in the preseason. And nobody should. A couple of people would get their hands worked up and start to be, oh, I'm occupied. I can't really figure out what they're going to do. And they'd go kick butt in the regular season. And they were great. So track record mattered. Track record matters the opposite direction here. What are your concerns? If you didn't see a single preseason play coming into this season, what would your concerns be about Jay Gruden-led offenses? The running game, right?
They don't run the ball very well.
He's never had good rushing offenses. Despite being top 10 in attempts two times when he's been in charge of offenses, they've never finished better in terms of rushing yards than 18th. That's Jay Gruden's career history. He's never had good rush offenses. You can blame it on individual things, whether it's a bad running back situation, maybe a right guard was hurt, whatever. Point is, he's never run the ball well. Passing-wise, he has. So I'm not as worried about a passing attack that's got back-to-back record-setting seasons by a quarterback. I'm not worried about a passing attack that's got Jameson Crowder, Jordan Reed, Trent Williams, and Jay Gruden at the kind of helm of that. Coming into this thing, I was worried about the running game. I'm more worried now about the running game than I was before this whole thing started. And I don't know how you could just sort of talk yourself into we'll be better tomorrow. A, they've never been good at it. B,
yeah, I am more worried about the running game too. Only because there have not, you know, even with the passing game, you see the Chris Thompson play down the sideline for 30 yards. You go, okay, that's a play they'll make in a few weeks. You see the 40-plus yard completion of Vernon Davis, and here's what I take out of that play. He's still a burner. He's still
get up and down.
He can beat people. You got one-on-one with the safety. Cousins recognized that he threw a dime. I mean, that throw to Davis, throw to Thompson, those were great throws.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, earlier in the game when they weren't operating well, when they had the goal to go after the Fabian Moreau fumble, Cousins said on our show today, he left that throw 6 or 8 inches too short for Vernon Davis, or else that's a touchdown. That's a bang-bang, make-a-perfect-throw or it doesn't work out in the end zone kind of play. But they had vertical routes. That's a play that 6-7 times out of 10 this year is probably going to be 6, right? So you have plays like that that you can take positives out of. What are the positives you take out of the running plays that have been stacked up in the backfield? Like, I guess you could go back and watch and say, well, if this block is made, there's a hole there for 4. You don't see a lot of that. It's Rob Kelly gets ball, jumps over defender. Rob Kelly gets ball, headed toward left tackle, has to go off course toward right tackle because there's 2 defenders in the backfield. They have had not just no success in the running game, a mess in their own backfield almost every time they've run the ball with their starters against starters.
Agreed. And I think it's problematic. Again, because I keep pointing the same
thing.
They
paid Bill Callahan like $2 million to coordinate their running game.
I know.
And he is a revered, like, I love the guy. I think he's great. He's a revered offensive coach. Jay Gruden is a great offensive mind. That's why he was a 46-year-old head coach in the league. You've got a left tackle who's a blue chipper and a Pro Bowler every year. A right tackle who you just paid a lot of money to who's pretty good.
Right guard's
a
top 5 pick.
Who's a top 5 pick. Lovell and Long are supposedly good, according to the coaches on this team. What's the problem then? Now, you could say, well, it wasn't the offensive line. It's tight ends missing blocks. It's receivers missing blocks. All those plays, I mean, those are powers straight up the middle where I'm seeing guards on their butts.
Just getting knocked back, man. It's always something. If it was one thing, it's a different thing every play. It's systemic, and I don't know a better way to describe it than that. I consider myself a fairly smart dude, just as far as the percentage of society goes. I was on the advanced math track once, GP. Stay with me for a second. Like, in middle school, I was like, I got to take, like, the you know, gifted and talented math. And then all of a sudden, they started putting letters and numbers and words together in math, and I was terrible at it. I had to repeat a math class in high school because I got to the point where we studied something called logarithms and logs. I still, to this day, don't know what logs are. I took it, had to take it 2 different times. I had to go to summer school to try to figure it out. I never did, so I quit. I quit trying to figure it out. The running game is Jay Gruden's logarithm. That's what it is. Logs for Jay Gruden and me and the TI-83 calculator. We had the same struggle. I can't get them. I'll never understand them. Everyone who does, God bless you. He can't do running offenses. I'm fine with that, by the way. So I'm not into just beating your head against the wall just to show that you are trying to establish some identity. Do what works.
And I wonder if he would admit to that, too. I mean, there's a reason why they wanted to go get Bill Callahan.
Yeah.
He was okay with it.
I appreciate the effort, honestly.
Said, bring in Bill Callahan. Let him handle that. Let me do what I do. I do passing. Let me do passing. Maybe he knew that.
Work the passing angle, man.
I'm guessing that he would admit, yeah, running game's not my strength. But it just needs to be average. It's got to be good enough to stay balanced. Because if you're throwing on 2nd and 12 and 2nd and 11 after losing one or two on first down, which they did so often last year.
So many times.
It kills you. And they beat the odds last year because they were one of the hardest teams in the league to get off the field on third down. But you know how they did it? Because Sean McVay threw on first down a lot because he believes in that when you're not running the ball. Jay Gruden, and we don't know what he's going to call during the regular season yet, but in the preseason so far, has really been adamant about trying to establish the run on first down.
They would like to because they know how much easier life is going to be, but I don't think they can.
Speaking of Sean McVay, he was asked if he's going to watch the eclipse today. We'll play that audio for you next on Grant and Danny. Pretty funny. This is a guy, how do you become a head coach in the NFL when you're 30 years old? You do it by only caring about football.
And you charm the pants off of people when you get in the room with them.
Sean McVay on the eclipse. We'll get to that in a few moments on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson for my friends over at Mannix Heating and Cooling. Went back and hung out with my dad at my parents' house in King George County, and he just raved about the installation that Jerry Mannix and his crew did and how amazingly comfortable his sunroom is for the first time since he moved into his house in 2006. It's all glass windows, lives on a creek, dumping into the Potomac River, and it's just always hot or cold in that room. He couldn't do anything about it, and that has changed because the team at Mannix Heating and Cooling, true pros in every aspect of their game, clean and respectful of your home, came in and they fixed his problem. You got to call Mannix Heating and Cooling at 703-777-9211, especially if you've got the same problem my dad did, which is you've got this room that's never the right temperature. Because they use Mitsubishi Electric cooling and heating systems that are the most efficient, that don't require the expensive, very tedious ductwork that costs a lot of money. And they can fix issues like he had where this machine put in his room kind of senses where it's hot or cold and directs air directly into that area of his room. Mitsubishi Electric cooling and heating systems feature individual room control so you enjoy precise comfort while cutting energy costs. Use Mannix Heating and Cooling. Nobody better at installing that equipment. 703-777-9211 or go to ManixHVAC.com and tell them Grant sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.